Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Why don't we welcome all of our locations in right about now? Come on, let's give it up. No matter where you're at today, we say welcome into the house of God. Praise God. You can be seated. We're going to jump straight in. Thank you, worship team. You guys are awesome. All the worship teams today out there, thank you, thank you, thank you. Genesis 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning. All right, we'll do that again. I'm going to let you know I'm going to do it. Okay, yeah, you ready now? In the beginning. Yeah, you do know the word of God. In the beginning, God. As we step into chapter 2, together. How many of you, just out of curiosity, how many of you are here now in chapter 2? We spoke for months about stepping into chapter 2, but how many of you have arrived in chapter 2 now? Are we here? We're here together. As we step into chapter 2, I'm so aware that my primary responsibility before God and to you, that's right, I say to you, because, you know, I am who I am by the grace of God, and I am a pastor, and I am a husband, and I'm a father, and I'm a brother, and I'm a friend, and I'm all of that. And I have responsibility. I am responsible to you, even as you are responsible to each other. Now, if you're not an enjoyer, well, I can understand you may say, I'm not planted in this house, so I don't carry that responsibility, and you may get away with that for a season, but we'd encourage you to either plant or find a place where you can plant, because how many of you know at the end of the day, God wants us to be knit together, bound together in love, that we might together grow into the fullness and into the likeness of Christ. So I have a responsibility to God, as you have a responsibility to God. Each of us in this place, we are responsible to God and towards each other. My part toward God and towards you is to impart wisdom, knowledge, and truth, the wisdom, knowledge, and truth that I've learned along the way so that in turn, you might also teach others. That's the deal. How many of you know it doesn't stop with me and it doesn't stop with you? I'm going to teach you what I know. You go teach what then you know. Now, I know that as we come into church today, there are many in this place that are well advanced in life. You've already enjoyed success on many levels. God has been good and you are moving forward. And we thank God for that. There's others in the room who are just setting out. Praise God. How many of you remember? You might be more my age and enjoying life, but you remember setting out. George and I remember setting out. Many of us here remember setting out. Some of you today are setting out and you are believing for success. You are believing to prosper in life. You are believing for the promises of God to be yes and amen. Amen. You are believing for the goodness of God to come upon your life. Yeah. You are believing for it all. And I would certainly encourage you to do that. But whether you be starting out or well down the track, it actually doesn't matter. My hope for you, and I believe God's hope for you, is that you would be believing that today is going to be better than yesterday and tomorrow is going to be better than today. How many of you are believing for that? Now, just so you know, we're not going into any sort of weird prosperity doctrine thing here. We're just going to teach the Bible. Teach the Bible. All right, that's what it says here. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. The path of the righteous. Are there any righteous brothers in the house? Righteous sisters in the house? All right, what should you expect your path to look like? What are you expecting? What is your perspective? We've already heard about that this morning. What is your perspective? What are you believing for? The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn shining ever brighter, ever brighter, ever brighter till the full light of day. Shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Now, you may be like, well, I don't know about that. Well, if you don't, can I encourage you, take it up with Jesus when you get to heaven, because it's the word. Now, I know that some of your circumstances may not look like that. When I was sitting on the couch for the first half of last year, it didn't look like that. But how many of you know my circumstances are not going to dictate to me what I believe? My circumstances aren't going to shape my theology. I'm going to continue to go back to the Word of God, because the Word of God holds. The Word of God is. The Word of God will always be. Alpha, Omega, beginning and end. It doesn't change from one generation to the next. It is the truth. So, ever brighter till the full light of day, meaning life is to get even brighter, ever brighter, ever brighter, brighter and brighter in Christ. I say in Christ, that's the subclause here. We're not just talking about life in general. If you don't have Christ in the center of it, well, you got to work that out. But you bring Christ in the center, you should be believing now, my life is going to get better. My life is going to get brighter. My life is going to get fuller until we're enjoying life in the full light of His love. In all that God has planned, in all that God has purposed, and in all that God has promised. So, as we look around God's word today, I want us to take a look at what I believe is often the missing ingredient in many of the recipes that are being dished up today. How many of you know there's recipes everywhere? Recipes for everything pertaining to life. But I want to talk today about what I believe is often the missing ingredient. Books, books, and more books. It was interesting seeing the book go up there. And it's like, everyone's got a book. Everyone has a book. Everyone reads a book. Book, book, books. There are books everywhere. This is what I notice about books. So many books that are filled with godly principles. Absolutely. Lessons for today. Absolutely. Points for tomorrow. Yes. And traits for success and prosperity in life. Yet so many of them, if I can be honest, this is only my perspective, so many are missing the real essence of life. The real essence of life. All right. Chapter 2. How many of you have arrived? Give me a wave again if you're here. Praise God. Everybody out there, give us a wave. I see you. Praise God. All right. We're here. All right. How many of you would like, just out of curiosity, a brighter outlook for your life? And now, I know some of you have been trained to think by others, different spirits. But how many of you, as you sit here today, would actually, if you would sign up today for a brighter outlook on life? Give me a wave, that's you. How many of you, if you are married, would sign up for a brighter outlook on your marriage? All right, just one hand's enough. You don't have to have two hands up. All right. How many of you would like a brighter outlook for your family? Yeah. I think everybody's like, yeah, we're in there. Relationships? Yeah. Ministry? Yeah. Career? Yeah. Finances? Yeah. All the things that pertain to life. I'm sure we're all in. We're saying yes. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. He was the one who created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. From my perspective, the two words from this verse that will help us to live the full life in the full light of His love the most are undoubtedly beginning and God. They're the two words. Beginning, God. The word beginning simply means this. What comes first? From a biblical point of view. What comes first? It's the starting point. Starting point. First and best. The choicest portion. That's what beginning means. Now, the word God. All right, so before I go there, before I explain why, from my perspective, these two words. Explain from my perspective why these two words are the most important. The most important. When God is left out of the beginning, it's never going to be right. You can fake it until you make it. You can try it until you can. But friends, if you leave God out of the beginning, you're going to be very challenged moving forward. I can almost guarantee, promise, it doesn't matter. You can huff and puff it. You won't be able to blow this house down. You know what I'm saying? It's like you can wish it. But how many of you know wishing doesn't change anything? We've got to get God into the beginning. In Haggai chapter 1, reading from verse 5, it says, now this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your prayers. Everyone say, give careful thought to your ways. Everyone say, give careful thought to your ways. Give careful thought to your ways. This is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much. How many of you know that's like the beginning? What did you do in the beginning? I planted much, but I have harvested little. You eat, that's the beginning, but never have enough. You drink, that's the beginning, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, once again, it's the beginning, but are not warm. You earn wages, that's the beginning, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. All right, who's he talking to? Is he talking to me? Yes. Is he talking to you? Yes. He's talking to all of us. We need to be a people that give careful thought to our ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house. What are we to do? Build the house. Build the house. Build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much in the beginning, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home in the beginning, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, because of you. Now, how many of you know God's getting real personal with these people right now? He's not saying this is my issue. He's not saying it's your wife's issue. He's not saying it's someone else's issue. No, no, no. Because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle and on the labor of your hands. So if we don't bring God into our beginnings, we can see what's happening right here. The chances are his outstretched hand of blessing and favor won't be stretched out towards us. And what's worse, there may even be times where God is going to work against us. Yeah. Now, I know for some of you, I don't like this. I went to the other church and they told us good news every week. How many of you know this is good news? Because this is real. As in, we think we can live however we want. And God's going, yes, I bless you. No, 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 no. He went to the cross. He laid down his life. He paid the price that we might live as children of God. But then there comes a time where we're going to give some thought as to our ways. What are our ways? How are we living? What are we doing? So, is this verse about God's house? Absolutely it is. We can't take that away. Whenever you're looking at scripture, you've got to read it in context. And it was to the people of God and to the house of God. Absolutely it is. But we need to remember, all right, because we live in the New Testament. They were in the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. We need to remember at all times that we are God's house. You are God's house. You are his temple. You are his workmanship, created for his glory and for his good purpose. And it's only as we bring him into our beginnings that we'll see his glory fill the temple and our lives, and we'll live lives in such a way as to bring glory and honor to God. But we've got to bring him into our beginnings. So the word God. All right, so we've already looked at the word beginning. Now let's look at the word God. It's simply, okay, so Elohim is how you would say it, Elohim. So how do we know, how do you say good morning to God? Elohim, you know what I'm saying? All right. Hello, Elohim. Elohim. Bad dad joke, sorry, Lord, if it was irreverent. I wasn't trying to be irreverent, just trying to be helpful. How do we know God's a God? God's a man, God's a father. Elohim. Moving right along, praise God. All right, Elohim, Elohim. It means deity, God of gods, mighty one, judge. All right, we can go on and on. All right, in the Old Testament, Yahweh. In the New Testament, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three in one, triune God, Trinity. Now, some people say, I can get sidetracked. You know I can. People are like, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. I'll leave it for another day. Because how many of you know I can get naughty right about now, but I'm not going to. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Yahweh, Elohim, our God, his deity, God of gods, mighty one, judge. All right. And so, let me ask you this, though. When we talk about God, if your children were to come to you, if your friends were to come to you, and they said, tell us about God, what is the substance? What is the essence? What is the reality of God? What would you say? What would you say? Now, I know what you're thinking. I want to know what you're thinking. That's what you're thinking. And it's like, how many of you know what I'm thinking? You know what I'm thinking? When people ask you things about God, go to the Bible. Just go to the Bible. You don't need to be a scientist because chances are you're not. You know what I'm saying? Just go to the Bible. What does the Bible say? All right, so more to the point, what does God say about God? What does the Word made flesh, you know, yeah, this works. What does God say about God? Well, I'm really glad you asked. 1 John chapter 4, reading from verse 7. Dear friends, that would be all of you, every location and everybody out there. Dear friends, let us love one another. What are we to do? Love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. If we're going to talk about the essence, the very nature, the beauty, the wonder, the splendor, the glory, the power, the magnificence of God, how many of you know we're talking about God is love. God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. If you're going to live and have this life, have a brighter outlook, brighter and brighter until the full light of day, we need to live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So God is love. All right. Love is the quality of warm regard for, and interest in another. Esteem, affection, regard, love. These are all words that come into the love factor. And so this love is without limitation within the realms of very intimate relationships. Rarely is the word love connected to sexual attraction in Scripture, but when it is, it's usually in the context of God being head over heels and madly in love, passionately in love with you. Yeah. It's crazy to think that this God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, would be so madly in love with me and you as individuals. He loves his church. Yeah. He loves the world. Yeah. But you know what? He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Loves you so, so much. Which is why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. It's like, sometimes, some of us, this is not my story. My mum and dad, they're the best. They loved us with everything. But some of us have got a bad understanding because we grew up in families where love was not displayed, not demonstrated like the Father, Heavenly Father, would show love. Some of us have got warped ideas, warped understanding because of the spaces and places that we've been in life. Friends, can I encourage you, this love that God has for you, it only wants to do you good. This love that God is for you, it only wants to be a blessing to you. This love that God has poured out upon us, lavishly poured out upon us. Oh, my Lord, if only we could get our head around the depth, the width, the magnitude, the size, the glory that can be found in this love. It's an incredible love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him. What do you believe in? You've heard me say it a million times. You actually don't need to tell me. I know what you believe by the way you live your life. You might be like, are you judging me? No, I'm just making an observation. You know what I mean? It's like, I can stand here with my hands raised, but if I'm rude to my wife and beat my kids and scream at the next door neighbors and throw my stubbies over the fence, how many of you know that says something? Yeah. I'm not judging me. And I don't throw stubbies, they're cans. No, no, stop that. You're being naughty now. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, believes in him. How many of you believe in him? All right, I'll ask you out there. How many of you believe in him? If we believe in him, then our life should reflect what we believe. It's the way we live. It's reality. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Not when you die, but beginning right now. Life begins right now. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Friends, God not only wants you to enjoy life, but he wants you to enjoy it to the full. Everyone say full. He wants you to enjoy it to the full. And so here we are. This is what it says, actually, John 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the... The thief comes to what? How many of you are tired because of like 110 degrees last night? So the thief comes to... Praise God. The thief comes only to steal, to kill and destroy. And I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. And so here we are. And we're just stepping over the threshold into chapter 2. Goodbye, chapter 1. It's been awesome knowing you. But I'm in a new chapter and I'm going to start living a new way because I'm believing for new. So we're stepping over the threshold of chapter 2. Believing for life to the full. I don't know what your life has been in chapter 1, but I'm believing for the fullness of life in chapter 2. But for chapter 2 to be for me or for you, that which God would have it be, we need to invite God into the beginning of it. Into the beginning of it. It's been interesting, George and I, as I wrote that book and the whole chapter thing, trying to get my head around chapters and what chapters do and all the rest of that. And Georgie spoke a word recently about a new chapter. And it's like we leave that, we step into this and we have a reset. We have a reset. I love the fact that God will always allow us to reset. For I think for us as a church and for many families and pastors and people within our locations and the whole church at large, the idea of a reset right now is a good idea. We all know that the recent years have been challenging between COVID realities and this reality, that reality, all the stuff that's gone on. It's like, all right, we are resetting together. It's like, all right, all together now, 1, 2, 3, let's turn the page and step into chapter 2. And I think everyone's like, yes, we are ready for a new beginning. We are ready for a fresh start. We are ready for a new day. New day. And so we're stepping in together. But as we step in, can I encourage you, church? Don't step in without God. If we're going to begin a new chapter, we need to invite God very much into the beginning. If you were to be honest today, how many of you know church is a great place to be honest? If you were to be honest today, just say that. How many of you have ever made decisions and then from the train wreck said to yourself, I really should have prayed a bit more about that? Anyone know anything about that? From the train wreck said, I really should have sought God a little bit more in regard to that. How many of you from the train wreck have said, I should have got God into this from the beginning? I think most of us have, if we're going to be honest. Now, praise God for his grace. How many of you are glad for grace? Praise God for his restorative powers. But how much better to bring God into the beginning and avoid the train wreck altogether? Avoid it altogether. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? It's like, slap you down, devil. If God is for us, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? How many of you know God wants to give you all things? How many of you have got a dream in your heart? How many of you have got a desire in your heart? How many of you have got a longing in your heart? How many of you know God wants to give you all things? This is God's desire. And I say yes and amen. God will graciously give us all things, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper when we commit to living our lives for the glory of God and bring God into all things. You got to bring God into all things. He's not saying, here's all things, see you later. No. He wants to permeate in the all things. He wants to walk with you and talk with you and live with you. He wants your life to be to the glory of God. Yes, we run up the mountain and we chop down the trees and we start building our house, and God's over here saying, why are you doing that? Why are you pursuing that? If you would spend as much time on me, if you were to build a house within your life for me, I would come and make my home in you, and you would see your life soaring to where you want it to be. It's like, this is only a shadow or a facade in comparison to the great and the beautiful and the glorious work that God wants to do in each of us. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things. So there's that word again. Now this verse, just so you know, obviously I read Romans 8, 31. We're going to go back a few verses to 8, 28. So just a few verses all earlier. And we know that in all things, everyone say all things. We know that in all things, God works for the good. God works for the good. And we know that in all things, doesn't matter good, bad, ugly, whatever, God works for the good. He's working for your good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All right, give me a wave if you've been called according to his purpose. All right, then we need to believe that God is working today in all things for your good. Now you might be like, but that's hard to believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes, you've got to work out, we're going to put our lot in our own temple, or we're going to put our lot in God's temple. Are we going to be committed and say that we're going to build our life, our house, our for the magnificent name of shame? Or are we going to commit to building a house for the glory of God? Give careful thought to your ways. Give careful thought to your ways. We're going to bring God into the beginning of everything. Some of us may need to dethrone ourselves. Maybe we need to repent. Maybe we need to dethrone ourselves and invite Jesus into the new beginning as our Lord and Savior. I say Lord and Savior because many of us love him as Savior. Many of us love him as friend. But is he Lord? Are we inviting him into our beginnings? Friends, when you invite Jesus into any and every new beginning, and this is what I want you to get today, if you get anything, because I can stand up here and I can teach and I can preach and I can bring the word, but if the perspective doesn't change, this won't benefit you at all. The word needs to be added with faith, to faith. Faith needs to be added to the word, put it whichever way you want, if it's to bring change in our life. And my hope and my desire in speaking this today is that you might see God a little different, that you might understand that God is love, and all that he wants to do is be a father to you, to be a guide to you, to be light to you, and to be life to you. I want to encourage you today to bring God into every new beginning. And friends, you must understand that as you invite God into the beginning, you are actively releasing the Father's love to permeate and to work for your good. This is why it's so important to bring God into the beginning. How many of you are in chapter 2? All right, let's have a new beginning right here, right now. We're going to, at this point in time, just so you guys out there know what's going on, we're going to pray. We need to pray today. Because it's pointless running off into chapter 2 without God. Many of us would have arrived here and it's like, let's just keep doing what we've always done. Well, if that's the case, why stay in chapter 1? If we really are believing for a new chapter 2 and new beginnings, we need to pray it in and bring God in. So at this point in time, I'm going to hand back to all of our location pastors. Can we give it up for all of our locations? Just 1 minute. God bless you. You guys have a great time. All right.